Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking previews, all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa,
as
whoa,
always,
whoa.
You're laughing already?
Yeah, show.
Show.
It's a podcast, damn it.
Okay, fine. MWCConnection.com is our podcast location. You can find our podcast links on Mountain West Connection on Facebook, or check our Twitter feed to find out the podcast link, MWC Connection. Is that thorough enough, saying podcast quota?
That's extremely thorough.
Extremely thorough. This is the show. It's Chris Hodges there. He's I'm Jeremy Moss. If you don't know who we are, well, we're here. We are doing multiple things late show tonight. I blame myself for that because and public transportation as well.
I blame you for that too.
Yeah, me too. I stopped the train for half an hour why there was power outages or whatever happened. But we got games. We got six games. Apologize for no recap show. Stuff happened last second. And I don't think it would have been too fair to Chris, who was not able to see, I don't think, any football games on Saturday, correct?
Or was not able to watch any football this weekend. Not only that, I was actually trying. What?
You couldn't see any American football.
Yeah, I didn't see any American football this weekend. But I tried to get other writers on for tonight or for Sunday night, and still have a podcast, and nobody was available. So was available.
So you were at USA Mexico, and I think that
I was at USA Mexico. Go.
I watched a lot of that game because I was flipping back and forth. But
really, did you see me in one of the 95,000 people?
I did not. I saw your Twitter photo that I posted on an open thread. But I did. I had a couple games up. I'm watching Utah Cal. I'm watching whatever Mountain West games are on. I forget. I was going Air Force Wyoming, going through a bunch of them. So I see on my Twitter feed, Bobby Woods enters the game. I'm like, I better change right away. And that was the correct call. The guy from Stanford right away scored a goal.
No, right, Jordan away. Morris. Jordan Morris is the one that's
Stanford. Oh, that's not who Bobby Wood is?
Bobby Wood plays for Berlin United.
Oh, I thought Berlin, he was the guy who...
Yeah, hold on. I'll be back.
Okay, Chris is stepping away for a moment. We're not going to talk soccer anymore just because, well, soccer. We don't need to. We're going to chat about him at the game, which I did watch that as well as regular football, so don't judge me too much, because good international soccer is fun to watch. So, but that's why a small reason we didn't do a show, because we want to know what we're talking about. So, but let's get to, Chris is gone. I'll chat a little bit of basketball really quick, just because we got Mountain West Media Days going on right now in Las Vegas. There'll be some stuff we'll post are in progress to be posting a bunch of videos and stuff tomorrow. That'll all be up and going. What? By the time you hear this, you'll see a lot more video and stuff online. A couple things about Media Day. San Diego State pegged to be the preseason champion. Not too much of a surprise with guys like Malik Pope, Winston Shepherd back. Again, we'll get to football, but we'll banter hoops because I know Chris wants to join in the football chat later. You got San Diego State, Boise State number two, and then Utah State three, UNLV four, Fresno fifth, but Fresno also got a first place vote. One of three that did not go to San Diego State, and that's part because of Marvel Harris, who people should really know who he is. Preseason player of the year, NBA potential, and he'll be a thorn in the side along with Fresno State when they play maybe UNLV or Utah State or the Aztecs. Not that they may not overall be good, but they could be sneaky good and kind of cause a team to wonder how they lost to Fresno State. But a few other things in basketball. Utah State took a break to play NBA Jam. You can check that tweet out we put on the website. About basketball, a couple of big things. One big thing I would talk to Chris about, but we'll wait till he's disposed in a moment. But one cool thing I thought, UNLV is hosting an NBA Combine October 23rd and 24th, I believe, next week and a half or so. And it's interesting because it's not against NCAA violations. You heard that Kentucky doing it. LSU is doing it. They got Ben Simmons there, so that's kind of the reason they're doing it. UNLV brings in a ton of talent. And, yeah, Steven Zimmerman this year, we all know about Anthony Bennett, was number one overall pick, not panning out. Rashard Vaughn, you got a lot of guys who are good talent. Then you got, like, Goodluck, Okunbo, I'm probably butchering that, Patrick McCaw, Dwayne Morgan Jr., Derek Jones, who unfortunately for Jones says that sprained ankle is going to miss his dunking abilities in the first chance at Thomas and Mack, but there's going to be about expected to be a scout from every team there. And this is a great idea. It's recruiting. We know UNLV can recruit very well. And why not do this to bring in more recruits? And they already have a top 10 class right now. However, this is not joking, but Dave Rice, you got to coach, brother. Learn how to coach and get wins. That's the only problem they have. But they have the talent there. They just need the coaching staff to put it together. And maybe that'll be the case. So that's some pretty cool stuff about basketball. And then one other quick thing. Greg Thompson was chatting there during Media Days during his open session, chatting with all the print and video radio type guys down there covering the event. Him, as well as some of the member institutions, the higher-ups, are looking to possibly fine schools that don't put together a good non-conference schedule. UNLV has a great non-conference schedule almost every year, partly because they're UNLV. They have a good team. If they lose, people are going to respect that loss. They're bringing it. Like, they have North Carolina. They played a couple of years ago. Yeah, neutral in Las Vegas. They got home and homes with Arizona. All sorts of good teams. I wish I had the schedule in front of me, but I know they got Kansas. They always play a top schedule. And so they're fine, but it seems like, sorry, Air Force, you guys play non-Division I schools too often. They're Colorado State. You got so many wins, but last year got left out of the NCAA tournament because their non-conference schedule is weak. Aztecs, you're playing pretty good. Boise State's improving it. I don't know what the fine would be because if it's cost beneficial to have a
Hey, what I miss?
I'm talking basketball.
Why were you talking basketball?
So you and me can talk football the whole time.
Oh, okay.
That's good, right?
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. I'm about to wrap it. All I was saying, there's Media Day, so I know people want some hoops. So I was about to wrap up, basically saying, I'm not sure if you heard, but Craig Thompson wants to fine teams for having a poor non-conference basketball schedule. Well, it's not just him. There's some of the schools agree with him. All I was saying that, like, San Diego State doesn't have to worry about it. UNLV doesn't. Boise State's getting better. But I was about to say that basically the main difference is that would it be better cost beneficial to have a home game instead of paying the fine? Because Wyoming ain't getting anybody at auditorium arena there at 9,000 feet. So I was just chatting about that a little bit because getting home games to these teams are tough, especially Air Force or Wyoming. They don't want to go there to play because look how good they are at home. So football. Let's get to football. Now you're here. Just enough. Timed it perfectly. So we got six games this weekend. Two on Friday, two on Saturday. Should we start with your alma mater to talk about that game?
Well, that is the first game on the schedule, Boise State, Utah State. You want to know what my biggest surprise about this game is?
The line?
Not just the line. It's actually the over-under.
Well, what is the over-under? I don't have that in front of me.
49.5.
That seems low because
– That does seem low.
I get both defenses are good, but both teams can also score points, more so Boise State than Utah State at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you happen to see my tweet earlier in the day about the not rivalry, but the series between these two schools?
I did not read the tweet. No.
That's okay. Utah State has lost 12 in a row against Boise State. Utah State won 96-97, which I believe was Big West years, correct?
Yes, that would have been Big West years.
And I'm trying to find my tweet here, but the average score is like, shoot, where did it go? I had it here somewhere. 47.75 points to 20.08 points. Average score. So almost a 4-touchdown victory every time Boise State plays Utah State.
Yeah, and that even, I mean, well, okay, so that's total history. Utah State hasn't really been that good. Let's just take it that past 4 years. Can you calculate that real quick, the past 4 years?
You keep chatting. I'll look to find it real quick.
Here, I'll do it.
I don't have my website up I was using before. I go to stacyan.com, which is a great, great resource. But you know, yeah, Boise
I'll,
State.
I'll look at what?
I was just going to add on. Since they've lost 12 of their own, they haven't won in the Mountain West. They haven't won in 4 years. They haven't won in a long time.
Yeah, well, I'm just counting the schools that are since basically Utah State has been good. That's what I've been trying to get.
Yeah, yeah. So 5 years, right?
Yeah, so about the last 5 years.
It hasn't been close because last year wasn't, 50?
All-time series, it's 12-2. Okay.
Yeah, 12-2. Yep, that's what I was getting at. Listen to the show, pal.
I'm doing the show, pal.
I know. I know. I'm just messing with you. Keep you on your toes.
So since Gary Anderson made the first bowl game back in 2011, I want game by game. That's what I want. Okay.
Actually have it here if you don't have it yet.
I just pulled it up. Okay. So
you beat the internet. Internet, go faster.
50 plus. Why don't you talk about this game while I'm doing this?
This game, here's what we got. We got Kent Myers making his this is his only team he hasn't beaten. He was 5-1 last year. Lost to Boise State. He's undefeated as the starter outside of playing the blue team on the blue turf. This is in Logan, so that's why the point spread, what are we at, 9.5 right now, which is I think is low. I get they want action both.
9.5? Oh,
yeah. Started 8, 9.5. I kind of figured about 12, but that's kind of what happened. And I guess they want action both sides, but I figured by now, day before, essentially, when this posts, it would be about 12. Here's the thing. About Utah State. Kent Myers won't be as intimidated because he played there last year at Boise. Defense didn't show up either, so it's not just him. After one game, he has thrown the deep ball to Hunter Sharp more efficiently, which he did not do last year. And that could be a big difference in this game if Utah State's going to keep close.
But yeah, absolutely. I've got that statistic up real quick.
Yeah, the 350 burgers.
So, yeah, so the last four meetings since Utah State has actually been sort of relevant.
Actually, 2009, 2010, they were not.
2010, they started, but we'll just kind of take those last 4 years just because. Last four games in this series, 2009, 2010, 2013, 2014.
Sorry.
You're right there?
I spilled a drink. Awesome.
Nice. As long as it's not spilled beer, that's okay. So Boise State has outscored Utah State 46.5 to 19.2.
So take it away for about 2 minutes. I'll be back. You keep chatting. This will be exciting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So anyway, as Jeremy was saying, Kent Myers shouldn't have an intimidation factor because he did play there last year. Defense, but like Jeremy said, defense didn't do great either. However, that 9.5 points, Boise State favorite. I get the fact Utah State's improving. I get they're 3-2, 2-0 in the Mountain West. And their defense is really tough, but you can't deny what Boise State has done since the BYU loss. And I know, who have they played? A bad Virginia team. They played a decent Colorado State team who wasn't really that great, even though they didn't lose to Colorado State or Utah State that badly. But then, you know, you talk about the blowouts versus Idaho State. And then against Hawaii as well. So they've just kind of just crushed their opposition. So this is really the toughest team that Boise State versus Colorado State. And we all know how poorly that went for Colorado State.
That's right.
Here's the thing. Brett Rypien, Kent Myers. Who do you take at this point?
Brett Rypien?
Yeah, it's hands down. And so here's the thing.
Well, and that's not just because his numbers, but he has more games this year, I would say. And he throws better, obviously.
Well, it's not even that. We still see Kent Myers making just small little tiny mistakes because he's a scrambling quarterback. And he's used to doing things on the run. Rypien is very much that pocket passer. He's going to take those slants. He's going to take those very short outs when needed. And he's gotten hit a few times. I mean, he's been sacked like, I think, 6 times since starting. So, you know, the key is the Virgil to come up the middle and the rest of the Utah State defense linebacking core to try and pressure. Thing is, Boise State's offensive line, while they are prone to giving up sacks, they're also prone to giving space.
Yeah, that's very true. We had quarterback and Rypien. Here's the thing. Quarterback, it's that edge. Running back, Boise State. Wide receiver, Boise State, but Utah State's not far behind. Linebacker, toss-up. Defensive line, probably toss-up. Probably little to Boise State. Secondary, Boise State. Utah State's still good, but they don't have Darian Thompson and Dante Dion. So I don't know how Kent Myers is going to – this is, like I said, by far the best defense they've played, or he has seen. And
as well as Boise State, this is – well, actually, you know what? Washington was a better defense. I'm now convinced Washington is a better defense than Utah State.
A legit team, at least at the moment?
At the moment they are, but even if they aren't, their defense is much better than their offense.
Interesting. One thing I noted, I didn't know, so to credit our guy Parker Robertson, well, not really a guy anymore because he can't do basketball for us, but our good buddy there. That's okay. He's doing, check him out at KSL.com. Check him out there to give him some clicks. But he put a little, he does some number stuff, and I'm trying to find this a couple early in the week. The running game, Boise State's rush defense is giving up about 61 yards per game, I believe if that's correct. Something pretty absurd, but did you notice what the Rams were able to rush against them last week?
I do not know.
No. Well over 100 yards in that game. And so there's two things with that. Rams have a pretty good running attack. Dalen Dawkins back there and Jason Oden. But the other thing, look at the big lead versus Virginia. Look at how they've raced out against these teams versus Hawaii, which means
And that's what I was saying.
Maybe I missed that part. I apologize if I did.
Okay, continue. Reinforce what I said.
Well, what I'm saying is that the numbers are skewed. It's like if you're playing Air Force or Navy, rush defense is going to be skewed. Boise's – I'm not saying it's not good by any means, but when you're ahead 21-0, you're going to abandon the running game more often than not. You're not going to run as much. And so what Utah State could do – because even if Utah State – well, LaJuan Hunt, he's a reasonably good running back. Kent Myers can move the ball as well. If they get down, which is a legit possibility, look at last year's game. If Utah State's down 14-0, 17-3, 20-10, 24-10, they can't just stop running the ball because Colorado State's shown you can have success against that Boise State rush defense because their secondary is so good. If you're sitting back there forced to throw or wanting to throw to catch up, you're going to go 3-and-out, and then the lead will just keep getting away from you and bigger and bigger and bigger. So they got to try to run unless it – you're still going to throw more than run if you're down by that much, but you can't just give up on the run because you're down by 13 or more points.
Yeah, absolutely. And the question then becomes, how far behind does Utah State get before Myers is just going to have to pass and pass and pass?
I would say if they're down by 17 or more, early third quarter.
Okay.
Because keep the ball away from Rippon and McNichols and Spearback and all those guys. Spearback, excuse me. Because that's part of it, too. Given the ball, their offense is so good, why not hold the ball from them? So even if you don't score, you took off 5 minutes on the clock without being behind by another field goal or touchdown or something.
Right.
So what is your take on this game? What do you think? Because we need to kind of move along to this. The first game still. What do you kind of think will happen? And do you, what's your projection?
Remember, I'm the one who called another 50 burger, but another blowout versus Colorado State last week. But once again, that's personal bias.
Not far off though. Not far off.
No, it wasn't far off. And I honestly, while I don't think it's going to be a 34-23 like it was a couple of years ago, and I'm not really sure if it's going to be a 50-19. I'm somewhere in the range. It's going to be like a 42-24 game. I think Kent Myers is going to find his rhythm. He's going to start throwing, and he's going to start throwing well. But that Boise State offense is just going to, I mean, I think it's just going to tear the defense apart.
Well, they have to prove it to me as well. Like I said with UNLV forever, and I'll submit on them, Utah State hasn't proven to be able to play Boise State ever, essentially. Look what I said early on. 4-touchdown difference every year. Not even close to past 2 years. And last year, they probably had a defense that's as good, if not better, than this year's, and they couldn't stop a quarterback who's arguably not as good as who they have now. I gotta say the same thing. Like, I think it'll be, because last year was just such a disaster and so terrible. Because, yeah, the game was a huge blowout, and I know this sounds like crappy excuse, but when they were I don't have it in front of me, but what was it? 21-0, 28-10. The second half on, when it was out of reach, but they, with all the starters still in for Boise State, Utah State showed up and did their thing by keeping it somewhat close. But again, I don't see this game being I'm hoping it's not an extreme blowout. But again, last year we thought they might win. People thought Boise could lose this game last year. I'm with you. It's probably going to be around a 17-point victory for Boise State. Aggies will hang around just enough to make it interesting, but it'll be Boise just pulling away. With the young QB, look what they did against Virginia. All these defensive touchdowns they're getting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'll go ahead and say the last word on this. Until Utah State can beat, it's just going to be a series.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. I said it wasn't a rivalry. I said the series between the two schools. So I we'll see what happens. Good luck to both teams, but I don't think Utah State's there. They don't have enough offensively to win this game. Next game, 8:30 p.m., late kick, ESPN2, UNLV at Fresno State. Fresno State still looking for their first ever FBS win this year.
I'm gonna stop you real quick. Have you seen the line for this game?
Yeah, I have.
Damn it. I was going to ask you what the line was.
It surprised me. That's why I was getting at what I mentioned a moment before. Two things surprised me. One, UNLV opened up as a -1 favorite. Two, it swung a touchdown to UNLV, a road favorite.
Road by 7 points. A touchdown road favorite. Oh boy! This
honestly hasn't happened probably since Randall Cunningham was their quarterback. So are they going to blow it then?
I certainly hope not. You know what? Once again, I not playing the Boise State fan here, playing the UNLV fan here. God, Tony Sanchez is just dripping with confidence, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's basically making it. So and it makes sense. Look at the game last week. San Jose State, they could have put UNLV away. San Jose State's proven that it's the best team in the West right now. UNLV comes back, goes ahead, and then gives up the field goal to take it to overtime. And, I mean, just – it's – after the game is over,
Tony Sanchez says, oh, yeah, we could still win the West, by the way.
They're only 1-1 in conference, and the West is a mess.
But that's what I'm saying. Sanchez is just like, yeah, oh, well, okay. Whatever. We need to work harder. We're going to bring it. Let's beat Fresno State. And I firmly believe they can beat Fresno State.
So do I. Do we even know? Because I honestly thought, I know, Matt, sorry, Matt, you're suffering with your Fresno State team this year.
Maybe not talking to us right now.
He sent me an email.
I'm on Facebook with him right now.
Oh. But basically, we kind of figured, and I was joking with him, but he was somewhat being serious, that with all the injuries with Chase and Virgil and everybody, there's no possible way they could bench that Greenlee for anybody. Right? That was the hope. And then he's like, you never know. There's this guy, Kilton Anderson, who got the start.
Well, that is.
Yeah, I don't. Obviously, fourth on the depth charts. Okay, here, let's get to our first question really quick. We had a few Twitter questions here. Let me pull this up. It's something in regards into. Because Tim. Two things. Tim DeRuiter is the highest paid coach in the Mountain West right now. Signed a recently new deal for a couple years ago, so his buyout's kind of high. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but let me pull up the questions we have here. Let's see. Oh, people were replying to my basketball post. That's not what I want.
Tim Susioff asking, my dog's cool. What in the hell does Fresno State do now? Coaching change? Stay with it?
Hashtag frustrated fan. Sorry, Tim.
Hashtag wow.
I would say Tim DeRuiter is going to be safe because the money issue. Dave Schramm's out. He has to be out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would not be surprised if there's a new head coach come 2017. Because next year, I think he's going to be – unless – if they go 1-11, I don't know. Maybe they come up with the money. They have those. Are there any rich Armenians in that area that have enough money to buy them out?
Armenians, yes. Rich Armenians and Fresno, I'm not sure.
The Kardashians are Armenians. Will they loan the Fresno State some money?
No, they will not. No, they will not. I don't think so. I think they're USC fans.
Reggie Bush, yeah, that type of stuff. It's got to be the OC and DC are out because Ruder hasn't been able to, because he's going to save himself first, obviously. And they'll say, it's going to come down to this. I can almost guarantee it. It's like you hear it all the time. Either you're gone or you clean house and start over with nearly new assistant coaches across the board. That's probably what will happen. But
so I've learned something disturbing so far.
What's that?
So the only way I think Fresno State wins this game, before you continue, is if Martez Waller goes on a running spree. UNLV gives up 178 yards per game. How many yards does Fresno give up a game on the ground?
A lot.
211.
Ooh.
So anyway, continue with your stats. Continue with your rant house here, because everything just comes back to, yeah, something within the coaching just needs to change.
Yeah, Dave Schramm's gone. I think who's Ed Koch is or DC. I forget. Somebody mentioned the name, but I don't really care to know his name because they're awful. But last thing before I actually get to the game, the reason he won, I've said this a million times. I don't know how many times I can repeat myself, but I'll list names. Derek Carr, Isaiah Burst, Devontae Adams, Tyler Wentworth, those type of guys. And there's somebody else I'm probably missing or two. Josh Harper, NFL guys, at least shots NFL are playing right now. Those were Pat Hill's players. Yes, DeRuiter got a lot out of Derek Carr that Pat Hill for some reason didn't, which is weird, but recruiting's not very good. And I don't know, coaching was okay with those players, but I guess if you have good players, it doesn't matter because look at UNLV basketball. They have the best recruits around. They struggle on the court for some reason. So,
you know, I hear there's some coach who's available to coach possibly for next year if he comes out of retirement.
Who may that be?
Oh, well, you know, I'm not sure how Fresno State or how Fresno's golfing is. But wouldn't it be a joy to watch the OBC go to Fresno?
Are there Arby's near there in Fresno?
Huh?
Are there Arby's near Fresno?
There are plenty of Arby's in Fresno.
Perfect. Head ball coach, head west. He said he did not retire. He resigned.
Exactly.
He does have to compete. However, he got his first job offer from a Louisiana high school to be their OC, so there is some competition.
Who pays more for a coach, Louisiana high school or Fresno State? The winner right now is Fresno State.
Yeah, Fresno State.
How much Jim Rooter's playing?
I don't know. Kilt Anderson started. It looks like he started it again. I don't know what to make of what they're doing because I figured, and this makes sense. I've played sports. I've coached stuff. I think I know what I'm talking
about.
Have
you played sports?
Yes. I'm a Division I athlete in a sport that people don't care about. So, yeah. But here's the thing. If you're the only guy left to play the game and nobody's behind you or should not be behind you and you're struggling, you should be able to be more relaxed, play better, not worry if you happen to screw up. This guy's on a tighter leash than a rabid dog or something with Zach Greenlee. I don't know what else to say. You figured he's the guy, he should be the guy, let him play. Unless Zach Greenlee is that bad, but Kilton Anderson, whatever.
Well, I mean, you obviously know what that means, right?
What?
Well, so, since Kilton Anderson has not resolved, I mean, the team passing is under 50%. That just means we need somebody playing at quarterback who is obviously not built to play quarterback.
Wildcat, Martez Waller the whole game. Do it.
Forget Martez Waller. I'm thinking more somebody more Peisman worthy.
Oh. Speaking of that, did you actually see the Peisman trophy?
Yes, I did.
Glorious. But
can we have an offensive lineman like line up as a quarterback?
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, hell, Jared Lorenzen was a quarterback.
The hefty lefty.
You might as well at this point, if you have Kilton Anderson on a tight leash, who else are you going to next? And this is why I think UNLV wins on Friday.
The only way Fresno wins is if Martez Waller just blows up and just gets like 40 carries for like 225.
Which is very possible. But that's also very possible that he does that and they still lose.
Is Kurt Ballendeck still the starter this week for UNLV?
I do not know.
I should look. I know he started last week and he's an okay QB. We know the things about UNLV. They're gritty. I hate using those type of words. They have heart. They try hard. They do. They're improving a little bit here and there. Their defense is much better than most people would give them credit for, or have been in the past long time. They've been making plays. They did okay versus San Jose State last week. Kyler Irvin's getting his yards versus anybody, so I don't care what you say about that. But at this point, I can't believe I'm saying it because you pointed it out last week, I think, and I said the past probably 2 years, I'm never picking UNLV until they prove it to me, and they're basically proved it to me. They're going to win and cover.
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh! You jinxed it. You jinxed it, you bastard.
I'm picking
about a 10.1 for UNLV.
You can't trust Fresno State. They have no quarterback. We have to. There's no reason to pick Fresno State.
Well, there is one reason. There's Martez Waller. That's why you pick Fresno State.
Yeah, but I
promise we can't clone him 11 times.
At least 3 times. Let him play tight end and wide receiver.
All right, so next game.
Saturday, 1:30 Mountain Time on CBS. Oh. That UNLV Fresno is ESPN2, Utah State, Boise, CBS Sports. So, Boise fans, quit complaining. You have to pay $5 extra to get the package for that game. Relax. Get over it. All right, Air Force.
Air Force of Colorado State. Twitter question from @LokeBSU, another guy who frequently tweets to us and writes fan posts for us occasionally.
It makes
what concern. Am I supposed to think of Air Force this year? We'll let you know after this game.
Yeah,
Air Force is the 3-point favorite over a Colorado State team that I'm more confused about than possibly Air Force.
They got Rashard Higgins. He's pretty good for them, right?
Yeah, but that's it.
No, they had Coleman.
They had Coleman Key playing last week. Why wasn't Nick Stevens? Nick Stevens came in as a sub.
That was odd. I must have missed that because all the games are at the same time. I was going back and forth. But I did see something that it looks like – I'm going to double check to make sure. But it looks like Nick Stevens will be back as a starter. They got Jason Oden. They got who's a Dalen Dawkins, a converted wide receiver, played running back. Those are a pair of guys that will do well on the ground. But Air Force, I don't know who to pick in the running game, which is, I guess, good for Air Force. But there's no – like Jacoby Owens is playing, but he's not the main guy. It seems like there's a different guy getting 100 yards every week. And so maybe that's their thing. You can't key in on one guy where it'll be, next guy up gets 100 yards. Good for you. They give it to the hot hand, essentially.
Run the dang ball, Bobo.
You got two backs?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm double checking to start it. But yeah, this is odd that they're a road field goal favorite. And we all know what Air Force will do. Carson Roberts is not the running quarterback that Nate Romine is or Tim Jefferson or guys that had the past couple years. He might get a handful of carries, but he's not going to do anything special running the ball. Kyvon Cartwright should get the ball more for Colorado State. He's added to the midseason Mackey Award watch list for tight ends. But you're right. This team is just odd. The Colorado State team, I don't know what to make of them because they look pretty good. Minnesota, Colorado, they played close, but they're not winning.
Right. Whereas Air Force, okay, you had a blowout loss versus Michigan State, but you kept it close at the end. And then you had a blowout loss to Navy, which just honestly, Navy is that good.
Well, both of those were mistakes and turnovers, which is why they're blowouts, which could be how Colorado State could win this game.
Exactly. But in the teams that Air Force has beat, it really hasn't been a complete. Okay, they beat San Jose State handily, but I think that's a different San Jose State team than what we're seeing right now.
But that game too, San Jose's team that can't stop the run. Well, that too, but also that game, they scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. It was 17, I think it was 17-17, ended up being, 38-17 or something, 38-20. Yeah. It was close throughout, so they weren't blowing them out until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the Air Force running corps is going to do its job, especially with what kind of Boise State did last week, which wasn't a lot of running, but at the same time, they were able to run when they wanted to. I think they're utilizing Ripien more. But that being said, Colorado State, you get the turnovers and you prove that you can get some turnovers. This is a team that Air Force. This is an Air Force team that's very, very beatable.
Well, yeah, they're beatable because, like I said, the reason they lost versus Michigan State and Navy, turnovers and errors. And so, not that they would win either game, especially Michigan State, but if the Rams' defense can do something, there's a possibility there. And it hasn't been great, but it's been okay. 20-something points in Minnesota and Colorado's okay. I'm trying to find out who the starters on the depth chart because they apparently list nothing. But why is not – I get Mike Bobo what he wants to do, but how is Rashard Higgins not getting targeted 15 times a game?
I don't know.
How is there a quarterback controversy when you have two of your receivers on watch lists, another tight end who doesn't play much who's very good, you got Joe Hansley, another above-average receiver, but the quarterback, they put in Coleman Key for part of the game. How are they not – this has an offense that should be much better than what it is. It doesn't make sense. And maybe it is just a quarterback not being the accurate, but they should have the play calling to mix up with the multiple backs they have and all the wide receivers. Even if they're keying in on Hollywood Higgins, you got other guys who should be able to get open against especially Air Force.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that inability to kind of break free in the open field, I think that's what's going to be Colorado State's downfall this week. Outside of Weston Steelhammer and Hughes doing their job, kind of going back to creating those turnovers, I think Air Force pulls away this one. I think they win by about 5 or 6.
Just so you know, officially, Nick Stevens listed as a starter. So maybe I tried to look around for Colby. I don't know if Stevens was hurt or the blowout. They didn't want to worry about it. But, I forgot, they even got Deontay Gaines, I forget to keep mentioning, so... I'm going to go Colorado State's going to win by a touchdown. I'm going them to take care of business at home.
Nice. Very good.
And also with this game, not that it may not matter, but the loser is essentially out to win the Mountain Division. The winner still has a shot.
Exactly. That as well. So but I think if Boise State wins, they're going to be in the driver's seat to lose.
Yeah, of course. But they both – especially Air Force because they – well, Colorado State's almost out of – they're 0-2. I forgot they lost another conference game prior. So if Air Force wins, they're going to be – yeah, assuming Boise wins, but yeah, that's how it's going to turn out. Air Force versus Boise will be huge. Next game, Nevada at Wyoming, 2 o'clock local time there in a good old Laramie, ESPN 3. Again, I shake my head in sadness for Brian Hill and Tanner Gentry.
And even Cameron Kaufman. Kaufman has not been that bad this year.
No, he's improved. Interception's a bit high, but he's thrown the ball well. He's improved. It just stinks he's a senior. Won't be back next year with these guys to help. Because it's like another step back. We say this every week. I don't know why Wyoming's this bad when their offense has shown to be very good at times.
And our guy Daniel Connolly is asking Twitter questions for tonight with regards to this game. He says, no question. He says, I think I need to point out that I had Wyoming winning a Mountain West division. So he's, you know, basically.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. He sent in predictions. I'm like, that would really be an upset. I think it's our prediction show. I'm like, that would really be a twist.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. It wasn't just him. Like, the joking aside, he predicted them to be good. But people like in Ralph Russo, the AP, guys in USA Today, ESPN, us, jokingly said, hey, all six teams could go bowling. And Wyoming will be one of those. And we even said in our preview show, they could lose every Mountain Division game and still possibly go bowling.
Exactly. That just hasn't happened.
Everybody's wrong. It's not us. It's not Daniel. Everybody was wrong on Wyoming. They arguably had the best running back duo into the conference this year.
But Connolly brings up a good question, though. Our guy, Daniel Colley, he asks, Who's the best quarterback in the Mountain West right now? And I'm bringing it up now, not just because it's Nevada versus Hawaii, but because Cameron Kaufman has basically turned into one of the better quarterbacks in the Mountain West this year. If Ripien wasn't there right now, I would give Kaufman a solid vote.
Hmm.
He's got high on interceptions, but he's high on touchdowns as well.
Yeah, so
Tyler Stewart's sort of behind him. He's got 8 touchdowns. He's only got 987 yards, but his QB rating is just
and he's running the ball good. Pretty well. Yeah, if it's not because it is Ripien right now, even though he's played fewer games than everybody else, it'd be Ripien. Number two, obviously, nobody out west really because no Maxwell Smith, no Max Whittick. I don't know who San Jose State's going to start. They change every week. I was shocked because I watched part of the game. Like, what the? I'm like, Tyler Winston didn't play.
Joe Gray.
No, and Joe Gray. Tyler Winston also didn't play. And they still won. Sorry. But it's ripping. But yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain. Would it really be Kent Myers, number two QB, perhaps?
Maybe I would say though that Cameron Kaufman's got your pretty good vibe right now.
Because we can break it down even more. You got Tyler Stewart, maybe Nick Stevens, Kent Myers, Kaufman, and Carson Roberts. And Roberts and Myers came in after the first game, so it's like it could be Kaufman, but it's that's not good when he's possibly your next guy. But as for this game specifically, I keep harping on it, and maybe people are getting tired of me saying it. But I like Nevada. Here's the thing: Nevada's going to win. They're going to win big. They're going to cover. What is it? 10?
Oh, it's 6.5.
They're fine. They'll road cover. They're fine. They'll take care of business. And I could be glossing over it, but I like their offense. The pistol's working almost to perfection. Quarterback throwing could be better, but. James Butler, Don Jackson. I keep saying, I'm just waiting for Rashawn Henderson to have a huge game. Is that ever going to happen?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think the pistol's working as well as you think it's working. This is a Nevada team. This is a Nevada team that gives up, that passes for 164.5 yards per game. They rush for 222. Yeah, that's good for 20th in the nation, but you know, it's still it's working, but it's you know, you're only scoring 25 points per game. That's not good.
That's true, but
that's worse than a lot of FCS teams.
Ooh. They did play Texas A&M and a couple in Arizona, some tough teams. But I was getting – my point is that the passing game needs to improve. Running game's pretty much there, close to it. But the passing game needs work. That's why I want Henderson to get involved. Nevada's going to win. Unless Brian Hill go. Well, I don't know. What more can Brian Hill do?
Not so fast, my friend.
Oh, what do you got?
Uh-oh, what do I got?
Yeah, he's stupid.
Have you not forget – Have you not – here's the thing. Wyoming's 0-6. Yes, I get it. They're very, very, very bad team. But over the course of the last few days, they had their chance to beat University of New Mexico. Okay, Eastern Michigan, UND, Washington State. Those were all really bad games. But they've steadily improved. And even against Air Force, which it was 31-17, Air Force didn't pull away until much later in the game.
Very true. I was surprised how close that was late into the game.
This is a team, okay, Nevada, they've got the 223 passing yards per game. Their rushing yards isn't as high as normal. It's only 157.8, but that's only because Brian Hill's doing all the work.
And one game he got shut out pretty bad.
This game's going to be closer than I expect. I still think Wyoming loses this game. I think it's only going to – I think it's less than a touchdown, though. I'm not sure I'm not sure Nevada covers.
Interesting. It does. I'm checking right now, but Sean Wick had the concussion. He missed the past two games, so I don't know.
He should be cleared to play.
He should be by now. I would look it up more, but this, like I said, before me and Chris chat before the show, this week or so has been quite stressful and taxing, and we're taking a break by chatting with you guys tonight.
Hey, guys.
I'm just saying, because I got messages, some guy, I wish I had his name, but on Facebook, asked about the show. I'm like, sorry. And I mentioned, like, this honestly is the most favorite thing I like to do on our website, is doing this. Because I don't really do previews. We have enough guys who I'm thankful to help out to write previews, write recaps. I fill in here and there. I do big picture news. You're very busy. You do this mostly, do some other stuff when you have the time for it, but... I don't get to talk about the games as much or freely and as much I'd like to. So we're having a fun time tonight. So hopefully you guys are too. But I kind of agree with what you're saying, but I still think Nevada would comfortably.
Fair enough.
Moving on. Next, New Mexico hosting Hawaii. ESPN doesn't list this. Is this a streaming game only or is this on Root Sports? Do you have that in front of you?
I would guess it's Root Sports. I would have to guess it's Root Sports.
It's Root Sports or Mountain West Network. Regardless.
Either way, we have a potential of getting Robert Kekula?
Possibly. I don't think so, but maybe. There's a chance. This game, New Mexico's – this is another odd one because – not odd, but New Mexico's a favorite in this game. Only 5.5, though. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, a little bit.
It does, because New Mexico, their passing defense has been just awful. But yeah, that plays right into their hand because Max Whittick has not been good throwing the ball either. And Lobos could go 4-3 if they pull this off.
They will be back.
Back for what?
Back on the track to winning record.
Oh, okay. You just like back and stop. Like back. They're going back to
back
something else.
To the future. Great Scott.
Speaking of that, I wish I had money and the time off to go see that the triple header of movies they're showing in my area for the big screen. Only $12 a ticket for three movies. That's it. Back to the game, I guess. New Mexico wins by a touchdown. Hawaii's terrible. Norm Chow's fired. Maybe
Norm Chow's not fired. Norm Chow's retiring at the end of the season. Come on. And by the way, Chris wants us to spread a Norm Chow to USC rumor for him. So you hear it, you heard it here. Absolute rumor with no facts behind it. Norm Chow is going to take over at USC because why the hell not?
Wait. I have actual tangible evidence why this could be a possibility.
Oh, God. Here's a conspiracy theory.
They want to relive the Pete Carroll good days. They already went through Lane Kiffin. They're burning through Steve Sarkisian. Next up is Norm Chow.
Yeah, or, you know, they could pay off Chris Peterson another $10 million and he'll turn him down again.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go to the big city. He's good.
Very Can true. You blame him?
No. He turned down four plus to both Los Angeles area schools. Here's what I'm afraid of. This is a game New Mexico should win. Because Hawaii's defense, here's the thing, it's hard to judge. The Boise State game was so jarring, it's hard to make sense if they're really that bad. But then they played San Diego State reasonably close.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's where I'm kind of confused. Like, I don't want to just say New Mexico should win just because you should never say that about New Mexico, what they've seen the past 5 years. And side note, I apologize, Maryland fans, that Mike Locksley is your interim coach. I apologize. Hey, he's a good recruiter, though, so keep that up.
Yeah.
Allegedly. And Dave Rice, right?
So.
What do you think, then? Like, am I dismissing Hawaii too easily?
I think you're dismissing Hawaii too easily, but at the same time, we said we're both high on New Mexico. Football Bob's got something building at this program. There's no reason why Lamar Jordan shouldn't come out running this offense the way he has run it. Not a lot of passing. We've seen him. He passes more than he did last year, right? He's taking control of this offense. There's no reason why New Mexico shouldn't be able to hang 30 to 40 points on Hawaii, and Hawaii can't reciprocate with only maybe 21 to 28 points. I say New Mexico's spread's 5.5. I say this is going to be a 14-point game.
I'm not going to go that high because, again, Hawaii's defense is better than advertised. Boise State, like, they got blown out, Boise, Ohio State, Wisconsin, particularly Boise State. But I think it'll be about a 10-point win, but it won't be – I don't think it'll be smooth sailing for New Mexico in this game. But I want to see Gibson – I want to see all these guys. I want Carlos Wiggins to get involved. That may or may not happen, but I would suspect New Mexico will be 4-3 and win comfortable win, but not as comfortable as you're saying. Sure. All right, final game: San Diego State at San Jose State. This will decide the West Division. I'm calling it right now, even though we said it last week. Kind of was with San
Jose. Most likely,
because I've wavered so much on this game, which we should give the channel and stuff. It's the typical late kick, 7:30 Pacific, ESPNU. Sorry, no bonus money for you schools this time, but this is a game the matchup. People have been asking me. I've been on various radio stations. I've been on different podcasts the past 2 weeks, and they've called us. Sorry, I was on my good buddies in Hawaii. They like to have me on for some reason. I don't want to jinx it, so I shouldn't talk about out loud too much. I'm still trusting San Diego State, but it's so thin. This game's obviously going to tip the balance because Donald Pumphrey with his ankle sprain had multiple touchdown games and well over 100 yards against Hawaii last week. And they have Chase Price, and I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins this game just because it's going to be whoever can run the ball better.
Yeah, that makes sense. But here's one thing. San Jose State looking like the team to beat. San Diego State's still not looking like that team. And yeah, even though power run game is working, and so we have two Twitter questions tonight solving that. Mm-hmm. With Devin, that Aztec Devin, asking, do you think San Diego State has found their mojo back offensively going back to the power run game? Absolutely they have. But you just can't have a power run game against a team where, yeah, San Jose State can't stop the run, but they've got plenty of weapons on offense to counter that. And we've seen that the last couple of weeks. And then Parker's asking, does the winner of SJCU DSU win the West? And we're obviously saying yes to this. But, you know, you can't count out. Statistically, Joe Gray is the guy. Tyler Urban is the guy.
Hey, well, if Joe Gray plays, because he didn't play last week.
Okay, fine.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm looking it up. I'm checking the depth chart. I'm just saying, like, Joe Gray didn't play. And neither did star wide receiver Tyler Winston, and they still won last week. Which, your point's correct. They have the offensive players.
Right, right, okay. So, but, I mean, here's the thing. They're middle of FBS in passing and rushing. They're fairly balanced. 252 passing, 187 rushing. They're very, like, I hate to say very average team, but they're a very average team, and that's good enough to win. This West Division, and because the thing about San Diego State, they haven't looked nearly as good as they should have.
Maxwell Smith is awful.
It's not just Maxwell Smith is awful. That defense hasn't been performing up to standards.
That too.
Did you not see what Arkansas State did to South Alabama last night?
I did not catch that game. What happened?
It was like a 40-19 blowout. I will tell you. Yeah, I will tell you the final score right now. Yeah, people call me jealous haters for San Diego State losing to South Alabama. But look,
they start
49-31. 49-31.
Yeah,
9-point fourth quarter for Arkansas State.
You are right. The Aztecs defense is, not what it should be with Rocky Long.
No, it really isn't. And so what is going to fix that?
I don't know. I don't tell. I know they're getting some players back, because their guy David Farraker, because a couple offensive linemen are coming back, because they're suspended for the first six games right during fall camp. That could help, but I don't see how. I think there's one offensive line might be starting. I don't recall. There's so many names, and I haven't had time to look it up. But he mentioned it earlier in the week. They're getting a linebacker back and a couple offensive linemen. One guy who should be playing. I don't know if he'll start this game if he missed half the year. But again, Maxwell Smith is completing 40 – was the exact percentage, 46.3%. You cannot be an FBS quarterback and be that terrible in an offense that – this is not like Air Force or Navy where you're asked to throw eight times a game and you might go 3-for-8, where one completion or interception. 3-for-8,
you're still going to hit the 100-yard mark.
Very possibly, where it's the one pass where, you're under 50%. But here's his numbers, like, just yardage-wise. He has not thrown for over 200 yards. His best game was at Hawaii, 184 yards.
He's horrible against Hawaii.
He was 10 for 30 against Penn State, 12 of 28 versus South Alabama. Yes, Hawaii was 11 of 15 that 73% range bumped him up to 46.3, increased it to 46.3. And what I would suspect Greg Robinson to do for San Jose State is their secondary is very good. Maxwell Smith can't do a dang thing throwing the ball. I would not be surprised if they stick seven, eight, whatever the wide receivers are, two or three receivers, man coverage, bring everybody else up to run blitz every time. Why not? He proving he can't throw. Why might as well bring as many guys up to stop the running game.
Yeah, and as much as I hated to compliment both Borges and Robin.
Excuse me, gorgeous Al Borges to you. Come on.
Nope. Not going to do it.
What if they win the West Division? Will you say it?
Nope. So on.
How about this? If they beat Boise State for the title game, if that happens. Come on.
Nope.
Not even then? Come on.
No.
Jeez. Really quick, too. Starter officially is going to be Kenny Potter right now in the depth chart. So... He started last week and played pretty well, so Tyler Winston starting back in lineup. But let me ask you this. We're going to do our midseason show next week. We're going to do it today, but we want to get some votes up on the website for people to chime in with their opinion. Is Tyler Irvin your MVP at the moment?
You know, he's up there. I would not rule him out as one of I would not rule him out as an MVP.
Well, who would you have then? Because you got Brian Hill, but he's on a terrible team. Brett Rippon's only missed, but came in a few games in.
But he's outperformed everybody.
Very, very, as you can see, he's played very well. Rashard Higgins has been okay. You have Donnell Pumphrey. You have McNichols, obviously, if amount of rushing touchdowns he has.
Lamar Jordan.
I wouldn't go that far. At least me, I would not, personally.
All right.
I don't know.
By the way, Kenny Potter, yeah, even though Joe Gray was been the name of the starter, 72 for 104, 837. Kenny Potter has done a great backup job. As 58 mm-hmm. for 86, 620 yards. He's got 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. It's one of those things. I don't see San Jose State losing.
I shouldn't say I don't either, because the line here is San Jose State's a home. Basically,
home team advantage.
Yeah, that's about 2.5, which I want to agree with this. I guess from what I've been saying, I honestly should pick San Diego State because what they can do on the running game, and I'm believing in the defense, which I should not be. But I
do it.
Sparty? Should we go Sparty for the win?
I'm going Sparty for the win. You can do whatever the hell you want.
I'm liking San Jose State. They're at home.
Go Silicon Sparty.
There we go. I was in San Jose State a couple months ago or in that area. So, yeah, here's the reason why. And it's not just because of Tyler Irvin. They actually have an offense with a quarterback. They have Billy Freeman, Tyler Winston. They got a lot of weapons on this team that people don't really pay attention to as much. Like, who else they got? They got Hansel Wilson's doing reasonably well this year. Tim Crawley. They got some depth. The one thing that concerns me the most is that rush defense is still terrible. That's my only concern. And San Diego State has two guys in Price and Pumphrey who probably will have a combined 200 yards on the ground in this game. That's my only concern, to see San Jose State losing.
Yeah, exactly.
But as for my official, I'm checking one thing before I make my pick really quick. I'm looking at the total rushing defense, but now I'll just go San Jose State will win. I'm not going that far yet. Okay, I'm stopping before I say one more thing about what I was going to say.
Hurry it up, because we got to wrap the show up.
Yeah, they're giving up 227 on the ground per game, so we'll see how that goes. But yet they gave up a huge amount to Air Force. So Spartans are going to win, but this will come down to the wire. I think this could be like overtime or something very close to the end, where it'll be perfect irony that'll come down to like a play that's not decided by Pumphrey, Price, or Irvin. It'll be like a field goal or something. A stupid kicker will win the game for one of these teams. But I'm going Spartans to win by a field goal.
It's the curse of Seamus McMorrow.
He's back. Seamus is back. Yes. Anything else we want to discuss at the moment? This is gone for a while. We're pretty good, right? You satisfied with the performance?
It's grading time and it's bedtime.
It is bedtime. It's almost midnight for me here, and I have to get up reasonably early. So check us out, mwcconnection.com, for our podcast. Podcast, I say, for that, as Chris likes to say. If you've been listening this whole time, you'll pick that reference up. But check us out there. We'll have a midseason show next week. We'll have polls galore to vote on what you want to vote for. SoundCloud, Stitchers, iTunes. We'll check you guys next week, and let's hope your team does well this weekend.